prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Monday. We're starting the week off with a bang. During the first half hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Michael Ormsby to talk about the health impact of nighttime eating, old and new perspectives. Then we're going to change it up. We're going to be joined by John Moody, who is with the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, to talk about the new Prime Act that is being voted on. You know, we always talk about the things that are being voted on that are bad for us. This time we're letting you know about something that's actually good for us. That'll be a little bit later in the show. A couple announcements I have to make. Don't forget that this show is made possible through a special grant from All American Pharmaceutical and their product line, All American EFX Sports. You can get a free sample of the only patented buffered creatine monohydrate product in the world, which is Crealkaline. Go to superhumanradio.com. Bottom right-hand side, you'll see a banner that says Ask the Scientist. You can click that banner and ask Dr. Jeff for a free sample of Crealkaline and check that out. And, of course, don't forget, we have the Secret Word Contest goes on this week. During random commercial breaks, you will hear a secret word. Write it down or type it down into an email and email it to onair@superhumanradio.com. Every week we have great prizes. This week, it's the complete autographed edition of Legacy of Iron by Brooks Kubik, the only fictional writing about physical culture out there. This is a five-book collection, each one autographed by Brooks, sure to become a collector's item. So keep your ears open for the secret word on today's show. Let's get started right away with Dr. Michael Ormsby. How you doing, Dr. Ormsby?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. So this is a really important discussion, too, because we have a lot of people out there who are nighttime eaters. Some people don't eat all day and they wait till at night. There's even people who eat at night on purpose. I remember when I was powerlifting, I used to wake up in the middle of the night to have a protein shake. I would have some heavy cottage cheese meal before going to sleep. But we're finding out that maybe nighttime eating isn't the greatest thing in the world. So what questions were you trying to answer with this this research?
You know, that's exactly what it was. I was in the world where I was, you know, bodybuilding or training for sports, and everybody I knew who were the leanest people I've ever seen were eating at night. You know, they were having, like you said, cottage cheese or waking up to have protein shakes or doing something purposeful before going to bed, maybe eggs even, you know, something to get some more calories in while they were asleep in the thought to promote muscle protein synthesis while they were doing nothing.
Right, because we're so afraid of the catabolic effects of sleep. Oh, my God, it's going to negate all my hard work in the gym, right?
That's right. And I was also taken at the same time. I was in classwork and, you know, finishing up my degrees, and everybody was shifting towards don't ever eat at night. And I was thinking, why? Well, this is kind of strange. They tell me not to eat, but the leanest people I know do eat at night. So there's got to be something here that I'm missing, and that really spawned a whole lot of research out of our lab starting in 2010, where we were interested in figuring out, one, you know, a total review, looking through everything that's been done. Why do we have these different perspectives on, hey, don't eat anything after a certain cutoff time, or we have our, you know, our typical media folks saying, stop doing this, don't eat that. And we started looking into it, and almost everything that had been published up until 2010 had to do with a couple of conditions, specifically with nighttime eating. It was people who had nighttime eating syndrome, where they woke up and or in the evening hours had over 25% of their total daily calorie intake at that one feeding. So it was a back-end, back-loading sort of phenomenon.
Right.
And the other group were people who were shift workers, who worked through the whole night, and they were being studied for health outcomes of, you know, having this mixed up chronobiology is what they would call it. So you have different rhythms and things going on because you're not sleeping when you normally would be sleeping. And almost everything across the board there was negative. I mean, every time you eat late at night in those situations, they had instances where the same exact meal given in the morning or given at noon or given in the evening had a different metabolic response favoring eating earlier in the day. These were large, mixed meals, so they had protein, carbs, fats. They were really big. You know, most of the times they were over 550 calories or greater at each of these sittings. And so we started thinking, well, all right, but that's not what the athletes are doing. The athletes are having a smaller meal, but it's much more protein-centric than these larger meals that were going on. And so that's really where we said, well, let's aim there. Let's see what happens when we eat very specific nutrients at that time of night. And we started doing it across all types of populations, obese people, men and women, athletes. And, we've been able to come up with some new findings over the past 5 years and some new things on the horizon, too.
One of the things that I find about athletes or those of us who train hard like athletes, and it's not hard to do that in today's environment where people are slothful and sit in a chair all day long. But if you train really hard, I find there are things that occur that are vastly different in different populations. And I like to tag it as pathological and physiological changes to the body. Does that have something to do with this? Does it, the fact that if you are training and you are programming your body to do different things with macronutrients than if you are just sitting all day long and eating at night?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think across the board, exercise is going to be the thing that's going to be most helpful at determining what you do with those nutrients. You know, they call it nutrient distribution or nutrient partitioning.
Right.
And when you're eating after a meal, you might be in a better scenario to store those things for maybe muscle glycogen resynthesis or perhaps, you know, using them to some useful output rather than just storing them, which is what everybody's afraid of.
So talk about your research. What did you find that reinforced what we already knew, and then what did you learn that was new?
Well, so the older research clearly was showing that these big meals were not working out well, and that glycemia response was worse, so having the same meal at night tended to jack up glucose and also have the insulin response following it. It also had to do with cardiometabolic risk, so when they measured a whole number of things like triglycerides and dyslipidemia, kidney function even, those people who were shift workers or nighttime eating syndrome folks who were just eating a ton of calories late at night or through the night had bad outcomes. And so that's where everything came from for the things that were showing poor outcomes from eating at night. So what we started to do was looking to see what was going on. The first study we were able to find that had anything to do with this was by a group from Waller's lab, Waller's et al. In 2004. And what was neat about this study was they simply adjusted, I think it was more of a mindset thing. They told these obese individuals that if they could have a snack before bed, or the other group was not able to have a snack before bed, which was a cereal. It had like cereal and milk. It was about 150 calories, had some protein, some carbs. And when they did that, the people who were told that they are allowed to eat again later at night over this course of this whole study ended up eating less total calories in a day, and particularly in that evening time frame. So what the researchers didn't talk about, what I think happened, was that just by knowing they could eat again, they didn't have that second helping at dinner, and then it moved on to the late night side where they'd say, okay, I can eat something before bed so I don't have to crush all these calories all day because I get to eat one more time.
So this comes down to total calories in, that side of the fence. So the total calories in were reduced, so the outcome changed.
Right, so in the end, they ended up having less total calories in, even though they were eating a second meal or a nighttime snack per se. But what we also found was it's very hard to describe what the differences were between these studies, because what I call nighttime feeding is specifically after dinner and before sleep.
Right.
And all of our studies are 30 minutes before going to bed. We're giving them a protein shake or a milk or something that we're testing.
Right.
But in all these old studies, it could be dinner was considered the nighttime meal. It could be 2 in the morning and waking up purposefully to eat. So there was different definitions of what that actually meant, and then how many calories were packed into that meal was largely different. So it's kind of hard to compare them apples for apples. And the paper that we're referencing today does the best job we could of sort of laying out what were the old perspectives, which everything I just described, and then moving into this new perspective, starting with that study by Waller that showed, oh, maybe it's a benefit to eat at night. And that was an obese population. We were interested in athletes as well.
Right.
and we wanted to see, well, what's going on there? So Luc Van Loon is a researcher from the Netherlands, and he's fantastic. I mean, his work is phenomenal. He does some more invasive work, a lot of muscle protein synthesis tracking. He's just a dynamic researcher, and he puts out great stuff. And he had two papers come out. He looked at young fit men who were resistance training, and then he fed them a 40-gram bolus of casein before going to sleep, and then he monitored their muscle protein synthesis all night long. And in that process, his work basically figured out two really good things. One, until that point, we didn't know what the muscle protein synthesis response was while we were asleep. And two, we were unsure of how we digested and absorbed proteins when we're laying down supine, you know, like in bed.
Right.
And so that was the first time we were able to, any data was provided that showed in these young fit men who did a resistance training workout, had a normal post-workout meal, and then a few hours later were going to go to bed, and they were provided either a protein shake of casein or a placebo drink, they had a great response with muscle protein synthesis. And so we're like, that's pretty cool, but, you know, it's one shot. It's acute, right? So we don't know, we didn't know if it would actually add muscle, or make them any, you know, bigger, which was the goal of some of these guys, or even help them recover if it's a tough workout.
Right.
And so they followed that up, and before they did a long-term study, they did one more very acute one, which was in older men. And these were older men. They actually didn't drink it. They used a nasogastric tube, so they put the casein directly into their stomachs.
Right.
While they were laying down. A different method of doing it, but even in these older men, the 40-gram bolus had the same response as the young men in terms of increasing muscle protein synthesis.
Yeah, because it changes the biological signaling response when you don't taste it and you don't, you know, it doesn't come in that way. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, it was. And like, obviously that's not real world, and, you know, no one I know has a nasogastric tube to use at night. But they still had a great response, and that just kind of gave us hope. Like, all right, so now we have this one study showing that they're in an obese population, they might actually eat fewer calories and have an improvement in body composition that way. And then in these two studies that were acute, a 40-gram bolus of casein before bed was beneficial in terms of muscle protein synthesis. And those are great papers to start off what we were doing. And so we were like, you know, let's move into this. We were interested in not only casein, but we also tested whey, we tested carbohydrate, and all these compared to a placebo in most of our studies. So we could see, is casein better than whey at night?
Is it?
Well, a little more details provided coming up.
Okay.
We have some work in the process. It looks like in fit people who exercise, there was no difference statistically in our outcome.
And this is, the whole time you're saying this, I'm thinking of, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, when you take a person who is who's younger and is fit, okay?
Yep.
Because you're not looking at insulin response. You're just looking at certain things that are affected by some other things. But if you look at how much insulin are they producing at night to control their blood sugar, what's happening to autophagy at night? What's happening to, if you did this for a year, would you end up with a bunch of metabolic debris caught in cells? Because the autophagy process usually occurs when we're fasted and at night. So there's a lot of other things going on here. But if you're just exclusively looking at the protein synthetic response and the recovery from workouts, this may be a great thing. But what about the general population who also is saying, like me, I'm 57 years old. I want to keep putting on muscle, but not at the risk of getting sick at the same time, you know?
Sure, yeah. I mean, obviously the health and performance outcomes need to be weighed. Like, what's more important? Can we do both? You know, can we optimize both our health and our performance? And I think there's certainly a way to do that. But yeah, you know, these guys were fit. So when we gave them straight carbohydrate, 150 calories, straight whey protein, 150 calories, or straight casein, which was just a little bit lower in calories, but right there, 140 calories or so, they all increased morning metabolism, which is what we were measuring in that study. Very simple design. Give them something before they went to bed. In the morning, we measure their resting metabolic rate. All of those macronutrients increased metabolism.
Wow.
The only thing that didn't change it is if they didn't drink anything. If they had no input from any calories, if they had a zero-calorie drink before bed, that's the only one that did not improve their morning metabolism.
And did anything, God bless them when they're young, did anything impair sleep? Was there anything that they went, well, you know, all these markers were great, but I just didn't sleep that good last night?
No, and you know, when we started those studies, that was unfortunately wasn't part of our original design. We had a questionnaire about it, and according to that, no sleep changed at all. When we did other studies and more recent ones, we're now using sleep watches so that we can monitor that stuff. But no, we haven't shown anything, and we've done a number of studies so far, and with no impairment in sleep. And in fact, those other studies, even with that nasogastric tube from Van Loon's group, they also showed no impairment in sleep. But I do think there's a component to that that we might be able to tease out now that we're using these watches. We just haven't collected enough data to see it yet.
I got a prediction. I think that if it's a carbohydrate bolus, They may get to sleep faster, but they're not going to sleep as well as they would with the slow digesting protein. That's why I always went to cottage cheese at night before bed, because, you know, it takes a long time to digest. And I figured, well, those last couple hours in the morning, maybe that's when I'm not seeing any amino acid pools reaching the blood. But it's a slow, steady type of a burn. We're talking with Dr. Michael Ormvy. He is the interim director at the Institute of Sports Science and Medicine, Department of Nutrition, Food, and Exercise Sciences at the Florida State University. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up this discussion on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. You know why? Because you're smart. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The secret word is probiotic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Yo, mic check. Yeah, here you go. But nah, he over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called...
Welcome back. You know, we always think of nighttime eating as something that people that don't have the willpower put off, so to speak, falling prey to. But the reality is that for a long period of my life, I ate right before bed. And I usually get up at least once to use the facilities in the middle of the night. And I always had a shaker bottle with whey protein and a bottle of water. And I shook it up and I drank it and went back to sleep. You know, I've abstained from that. Now I'm 57 years old, and I understand the power of autophagy, and that you can actually fool with peripheral clocks and influence circadian rhythm because of feeding at night. And so I've really struggled with this idea, and I even think I've convinced myself that I don't sleep as well on a full stomach, which is probably true, because what you're espousing here is not having a huge meal before bed, but instead what you're finding is a small meal. And generally, and this is something I got to tell you something, so you know, I'm really into the whole evolutionary perspective of things now, because we can't escape our evolution. We know that I'm going to forget his name now. I want to say his name was Endrickson or Dr. Erickson, Roger Eckrich, on my show, who wrote a fantastic book on sleep. Biphasic sleep. He went back to the earliest known physicians' records from France, like from the 1500s and 60s, and found out that there was something called first sleep and second sleep. People, as a rule, woke up in the middle of the night. They either made love or they went to the neighbors and enjoyed some food, or they stayed home, and then they went back to sleep. And then before the industrialization, we slept the way we wanted to, and sometimes we would wake up in the middle of the night and we would eat. So clearly, when we're not influenced by industrialization, this was something that we gravitated to. And I'm really a firm believer in this food combining thing. You know, we're all into paleo now. Well, no one in our paleo ancestry went, wow, you know what would taste good with this caribou? Some broccoli. Let's go find some broccoli and let's get some potatoes too. No, they ate the caribou until they ran out of the caribou, and then they started eating something else. And what your study talks about is, you know, a single macronutrient meal, so like a protein or a carb, right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, everything so far is looking at very small. I mean, the largest one from the study that show a benefit in the literature, they're less than 160 calories. We haven't done the work to see if 150 is different than 200 and 250 and so on, which is something that needs to be done. But right now it's about 140 to 160 calories, single macronutrient meals are what is showing a benefit. And that's not huge. You know, that's a typical serving size of a protein. And like you said, shake it up and take it down. What we haven't done is this, is what you described, which is a study that's in the works, is is if you have it before going to sleep, is that any different than if you wake up in the middle of the night to do it versus having it some other time of the day? And that's some of the criticism so far, because some of the benefits that we're seeing, we're not comparing to other times of the day. For example, the most recent paper on this that did 12 weeks of nighttime feeding of a protein drink or a placebo combined with, over that whole 12 weeks, a resistance training program showed some pretty good benefits. For example, they all had increases in not only muscle protein synthesis acutely, but it ended up an increase in lean mass, and it increased their strength. And so that was exactly what these lean men were after. They simply added a protein shake right before going to sleep. But the criticism of that study was, what if they took the drink at some other time of day? And did it matter that it was before bed, or was it just because they had an extra bolus of protein going out through the whole day?
Yeah, so if you just added that protein somewhere in the day, would they see the same results?
And we don't know, because that wasn't their original question. It was just simply, if you add this before you go to bed, what happens? And they found a pretty good benefit. And so I'm pretty sure that that particular group is working through matching protein. And we also have a study coming up next year, which will be doing the same thing, matching nighttime to daytime and saying, is it the time of day, or is it simply that you're getting more in the whole day?
Or, well, to steal from the bodybuilding community, right? You're spending less time in a catabolic state if you have this steady stream of amino acids reaching the bloodstream throughout the day. If you think of amino acids as the foot on the gas pedal and you're trying to get someplace, you can definitely get there in an hour if you only drive half the hour and you speed the other, and you're speeding that half hour, or you can kind of get there a lot easier if you drive smoothly at one speed for the entire hour. I think that eating at night ensures that you have these amino acids. But then when you look at research from the group that Lane Norton used to be with up in Chicago, they're talking about eating too frequently and having those amino acid pools show up too frequently may actually dampen the protein synthetic response, that the body looks for that pulse, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's the size of the pulse, which is, one of the biggest players here. And with 140 calories, 40 gram bolus of protein, you should hit the bolus necessary to start muscle protein synthesis. I mean, all this work is showing it, and the leucine dose is also there for your single amino acid, perhaps trigger of MPS. It's just interesting to me that we've sort of shunned nighttime eating for so long in the public, although the bodybuilding world and other athletes have done it for a recovery perspective. And so, right now our lab is working with people across the world in some different places to see how a damaging workout might be enhanced over time with a recovery drink, not only post-workout, but also right before bed, a time when you said, people just, if they don't have anything, they might stop this slow drip of amino acids into their blood. Now, two real interesting things your audience will probably appreciate. One is that when I'm speaking with Luke Van Loon, the other researcher that's doing this kind of work, we're not sure that casein and whey are all that much different when you are when it's that late at night. And there's two reasons. One is that they're laying supine, and two, the slight pH changes of the stomach may change the slow release context of the casein and the fast release paradigm for the whey. And we're seeing very similar results between whey and casein when given at night, which is pretty interesting for muscle protein synthesis. The one thing to point out from our work, though, is that when we're looking at resting metabolic rate, which is an outcome that not everybody cares about, but in our populations that we're doing it, we did.
Yeah, I care about it. If I can have a meal at night and I wake up in my, and I've got one of those breathing units, and I can test my metabolic rate first thing in the morning. And if I wake up and my metabolic rate has been increased because I ate something right before bed, that's golden for me.
Okay, great. So with in that context, although, research is funny because we have statistical significance and we have things that are actually meaningful. So I need to preface it with, statistically, the data I'm about to share with you was not different from each other. But if you look at our figures in this paper when we designed it, the only two groups that have an increase in resting metabolic rate were whey and casein. The carbohydrate group actually had a decrease in resting metabolic rate overnight. And that's, that's not statistically different, but it's the same pattern if you did it one night only or if you did it 4 weeks straight, like every single night taking one of those drinks. So that was an interesting pattern for us, and it set us up for some more research that's coming down the line. We're interested in what happens to belly fat while you're sleeping, and what happens to the to the fatty acids released from your abdomen while you're doing it. So we're using a new technique now. It's called microdialysis, and we put these probes right into your belly fat, and then when you're asleep, we're measuring glycerol all night long as an indicator of lipolysis, or the fat movement from your fat cell. And right now, we just wrapped up our first study with that. We're getting it ready for publication. But what's fascinating is that casein versus a placebo doesn't look like it's all that much different on a first initial, you know, snapshot of me looking at it. Wow. That means that having something before bed, and if it's casein, might have the same lipolytic response as having nothing at all. So now you're killing two birds. You might have a lipolysis response, and you might have a muscle protein synthesis response. And that has not all been put together in one study yet, but it's definitely the way that we're moving with trying to look at some various things here.
So instinctively, my go-to meal was cottage cheese before bed, and I was doing the right thing. And that's when I was my strongest and my leanest as well. So that's interesting. I need to get back to that. By the way, I've done that nighttime belly fat study myself, if you want to look at an N equals 1 type research paper. And I can tell you what belly fat does at night. It mocks you. It laughs at you, and it goes, nya, 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 just like that. So I've already done that study, so you guys save your money. Anyway, listen, listen, this has been too short. I'm sorry. I wish we had you for the entire hour. So let's do this. Let me have Elisa reach out to you and get you booked back on the show. And we'll pick up from where we're leaving off here and kind of take it, because this is really interesting to me. It's actually intriguing me enough to maybe start going back to having that one serving, half cup of cottage cheese before bed at night.
Well, that's great. We can walk through and, I'd love to talk with you some more whenever you want.
All right. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
All right. Take care.
Take care. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by John Moody. We're going to talk about something called the Prime Act that you should know about. Because for once, we're talking about something that's actually happening that could be good for those of us who like to buy local. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you want to take tennis lessons? You don't have to wear white or join a country club anymore. Play your court sends top-rated instructors to your local court so you can take tennis lessons right in your neighborhood. Visit playyourcourt.com/superhuman to choose an instructor near you and receive $10 off your first lesson or lesson package. If you have questions, call 301-575-6112 and be sure to mention Superhuman Radio to receive your first lesson discount. playyourcourt.com. Finally, a better way to take tennis lessons.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Bluebird Botanicals sources only the highest quality CBD extracts from hemp. CBD is a non-psychoactive, all-natural constituent used to bolster general health. Bluebird Botanicals performs third-party testing, has invested in state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment, delivers nationwide, and possesses industry-leading customer service. To get CBD delivered to your front door, go to superhumanradio.com, click the Bluebird Botanicals banner ad, and save 25% off with code SHR25. Bluebird Botanicals, setting the standard for CBD oil and extracts.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
What the heck was that? Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have a technical difficulty. We'll deal with it later. Anyway, we have, to talk about something called the Prime Act. And this is not the Prime Act that you may be hearing about, in and around the media right now, which is dealing with Medicare and Medicaid, fraud and things like that. This is something completely different. And John Moody is joining us. John is the, local rep here for the Weston A. Price Foundation in Kentucky. We're very fortunate in Kentucky because we have a very strong rural community that actually cares about the quality of food, unlike some other rural communities out there that are in lockstep with organizations like Syngenta and Monsanto. And John is also part of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which I want to say Pete Kennedy founded many years ago, was on the show back then. How you doing, John?
Good. How are you doing today, friend?
Fantastic. Fantastic. So let's talk about this. Tell my audience, you know, usually we come on the air and we talk about something that we want to try to stop from happening. Mm-hmm. But this is actually something that we want to happen. What exactly is the Prime Act?
Great. Well, I want to give your audience an understanding of why this legislation matters. And so I want to give a little history or maybe a pop quiz. Maybe you can answer.
Okay, I'll play.
When you go to the grocery store and you see all these different cuts of beef and chicken and pork, how many different companies are you actually choosing from?
Gosh. You mean when I look at one package?
Well, when you go to the grocery store and you see these long cases full of fresh and frozen meats.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and you see all of these choices.
Oh, I mean, there could be literally hundreds and hundreds of farms that stuff originated from.
But how many companies?
Ah.
How many companies control that meat?
I see what you're saying. So, it's obviously a trick question, so I have to say very few, because even though the farmers are producing it, someone has to process it.
Well, and so, like, take beef. 84% of the beef consumed in America is controlled by four companies.
Wow.
So you go to the grocery store, and they have the beef under all these different brands. They have the beef under all these different labels. They have the beef under all these different looks. But at the end of the day, you're supporting four companies.
That's amazing.
Who have a complete cartel over the beef industry. Chicken and pork aren't quite that bad, but they're pretty close. And what created this cartel was a piece of legislation passed in 1967 called the Wholesome Meat Act.
Isn't it funny that the government loves to give things that take that take rights away from people good names? The Wholesome and Good For You Act, you know, and then you find out that it's raping your children.
Oh, yeah, Orwell would be so proud.
Yeah,
I mean, and so this act was passed In 67, in response to Upton Sinclair's work, The Jungle and Other Things. And it's amazing that even in 1967, the Small Business Administration, and your readers can go to farmtoconsumer.org. We have a bunch of different very good articles about the history of this and kind of what took place and why this matters. But even the Small Business Administration warned that this bill coming out of Congress would be devastating to small businesses, to small farmers, and to a free marketplace for accessing meat. Because what the bill did is, you know, I'm a farmer. We have a 35-acre farm. I'm executive director now for Farm to Consumer.
Okay.
So, you know, life is hopping. If I want to sell you a pound of ground beef, it has to go through a USDA-inspected facility.
Right.
I have no choice. Now, I can sell you a whole cow, but how many people out there want to buy a whole cow at a time?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, there are more and more people that want to do that, but you still have to have it processed.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you can have it processed wherever you want. You know, when the Wholesome Meat Act was passed.
I see what you're saying. If I wanted to buy a whole cow and have it processed for my own consumption, it's not a problem.
Yes.
Okay.
But if I'm a farmer and I want to sell you just a couple pounds, it has to go to the USDA-inspected facility, which is one reason why CAFO beef is multiple dollars a pound cheaper than local beef.
Interesting.
Because, you know, like, and I want to get back to the one thing I was going to say, if I can remember it. there's just so much. It was so interesting when I started to understand. Like, so in 1967, when the Wholesome Meat Act was passed, there was almost 20,000 butchers and slaughterhouses in our nation.
Okay.
Now there's 2,000.
Yeah, wow. So it's once again, it's centralization of everything that has to do with food. So it's almost like a power grab. There were companies out there that wanted to get all that business.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and I mean it's amazing. You know, the meat packers and others, they have such a stranglehold now over local farmers who are trying to get animals to market. Just for the learning experience, a number of months ago I went to our local sale barn here in Irvington, Kentucky, to see what it was like as a small farmer to sell a cow at the auction.
Right.
And there were two buyers for basically, you know, I don't know, it's like a 500-mile radius in all directions to the next sale barn. And there are two buyers who basically, you know, they have no competition. So they can lowball every farmer what they're paying them for the animals.
Wow.
You know, so we got this Wholesome Meat Act. It completely created the CAFO beef industry that we suffer under today. Because, you know, how can McDonald's sell a quarter pounder for 99 cents? Well, it's because for me as a farmer, if I take an animal to be butchered, I'll have probably anywhere from $1 to $2 a pound just in the cost of butchering and transit to the butcher. But CAFO meat producers have their butchering costs down to like 20 cents a pound.
And is that because they are actually a processor?
Well, and that's the thing. They're vertically integrated.
Right.
But it's also because when I go to a small regional butcher house, like Mark's Berry Farm Market is one that's really well known here in Kentucky.
Right.
Boone's Butcher Shop. Mark's Berry will only probably process, let's say, 1,000 cows a year. A CAFO butcher house will butcher 1,000 cows a day.
Holy mackerel.
I mean,
the economy of scale takes over.
Well, but not only that, like, a butcher house is required to have a USDA inspector on site who they have to pay to inspect all the animals that come through.
So, okay, now but there are some farmers out there who are saying they like having the USDA inspector to inspect the cows. So with the Prime Act, would would actually allow the decentralization of processing, because there are small custom processors out there today, but most farmers won't use them because you can't resell the beef then, right?
Exactly. You can't. Yeah, once it goes to a custom house, unless the person already owned it, you can eat it yourself, you can give it away, but you can't sell it without going to jail.
Okay, so with that being said, who would inspect it? So I guess I'm getting ahead of us. So explain what the Prime Act proposes to do.
So the Prime Act was introduced by Thomas Massie. He's a congressman here in Kentucky.
Right.
He's the most intriguing congressman you will ever meet. His house is off-grid. He just built an underground greenhouse on the side of his home. He raises pastured beef and has free-range chickens, but also has multiple patents and multiple advanced degrees from MIT. He's like a super genius. So listeners should go look him up if anything else. He's just an intriguing person. So Massie, though, is a small beef producer. He has a custom slaughterhouse, 15 miles from his farm. But if he wants to sell the meat, he can't go 15 miles. He has to go 150 miles to the closest USDA inspected facility.
Okay.
And so last year, Farm to Consumer, we had our first annual Food Freedom Conference. And Massie came, and all sorts of people who care about small farmers and their access to quality food came. And one thing that came out of that first weekend was Massie was talking to a senator in Tennessee and some other people, and they dreamed up the Prime Act. And basically what it does is for meat that does not leave its home state, what would be considered intrastate commerce, it would allow a state rules for meat sales within their state.
So basically then, instead of having a USDA inspector, you would have a state-sanctioned inspector.
Well, maybe. Different, like each state would get to decide for itself if they wanted to have buyer-regulated sales, which is my preferred model. I know my farmers. I know the butcher house I want to use. I'm friends with the butcher. I don't need a federal, state, or local inspector. It would allow states to decide what kind of model they wanted.
Okay. So wouldn't you want some sort of inspector there? Like for instance, the farmer that I do business with that raises beef and chicken, she takes her chicken to the University of Kentucky because they actually have a facility there that you supply the labor and they allow you to use the facility to process your chickens. Chickens are different than beef. But with that being said, they have an inspector that comes in for that process.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be best to have an inspector? Because the only concern I have with this is this. The problem we have with the large factory farm processors today is that the fox is watching the hen house. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not a good situation. That's why so many people get poisoned. Meat goes out that has to be recalled by the ton. What happens if you have a small farmer who's doing business with a small custom processor and they're not really doing things the right way completely? This isn't going to hurt people. Isn't it the best to have maybe a state sanctioned inspector step in and say, well, we need to have some sort of oversight in this situation, or do we just let people do whatever they want?
Well, the first thing I'd submit is inspectors are no guarantee of the safety or integrity of the food you eat. As simple proof, think about chicken in the average grocery store.
Right.
That chicken is some of the most heavily inspected meat in the world.
Okay.
In your local grocery store. Consumer Reports a number of years ago went across the country randomly collecting chicken samples from grocery stores. they discovered, and this is going to be ballpark, I haven't looked at the article recently, that roughly three-quarters of all chickens they sampled at grocery stores were contaminated with pathogenic bacteria, and half of those samples contained multiple strains of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. That is your inspected system.
Right. So what good is it?
Well, and so, like, on the other hand, though, Joel Salatin, who butchers chickens on his farm, he is, like, I actually was there a couple weeks ago and helped butcher chickens at Polyface, and spent a day with them butchering chickens and turkeys. They have multiple times, on site, swabbed their freshly butchered, uninspected chickens right on the farm. And their coliform counts and all of their bacterial counts, we're talking like 98% lower than what's coming out of the inspected system.
Right.
And so my point would be, if we want food safety, if we want to have a real conversation about food safety, and how do we guarantee that the food people eat is nourishing and healthful and safe, well, let's actually evaluate the models on evidence. Let's actually go and swab and test and bacterial count rather than the arbitrary measure of just putting some guy on site who rubber stamps what goes in front of his eyes at high speed.
Yeah, because that's obviously not working right now.
No. And so I'm all for guaranteeing the safety of our food system. But, you know, like, think about the farm I get dairy from for my family. My family drinks raw milk. My farmer now has a testing lab on his farm, Carl, where every batch of milk before it leaves the farm is tested in a multiple $1,000 lab that is now right on his farm.
Wow, that is so cool.
And this is the future, my friend.
Yeah.
The way technology, you know, one problem with regulation is always 10, 20, 30 years behind technology. And so small farmers now have the ability for every batch of milk, for every 200 chickens they butcher, to write on their own farms, swab, test, culture, and confirm that the food is clean.
This is so much better than what we're doing right now in these large CAFOs and these large producing farms that really we don't know anything that's going on until everything is recalled.
Exactly.
So much better.
And so, you know, so like I see no reason with both the safety record, you know, like, how many people do you know who hunt deer and butcher them themselves?
Oh, I did my, whenever I hunted, I butchered deer in my backyard. Nobody ever got sick from the meat either.
Yeah. And so again, like your own experience, the evidence we have all show that we don't need an arbitrary regulator with arbitrary powers and arbitrary standards. What we need is a system that frees people up so that we can discover what are the most efficient ways to guarantee safety. And we also just have to admit, friend, no amount of regulation stops crooked people.
No, that's true. Crooked people, that's why they're crooked, because they find ways around the regulations. Listen what we have to do. We have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking with John Moody from the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund about the Prime Act. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code Superhuman Radio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The secret word is probiotic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Talking with John Moody. We're talking about the Prime Act. This is not only good, this is good for small family farms, first of all. Explain the scenario that you told me off the air. So if I'm a farmer and I have two cows I want to process, what are the expenses associated with that?
Yeah, you know, so let's pretend we're small farmers. Let's pretend we got two cows, we want a butcher, and we want to be able to sell the individual cuts of meat at a farmer's market or at our farm store. For me as a farmer to get two cows to a USDA-inspected butchering facility, I'm looking at a minimum of an eight-hour work day just to take the cows to the facility and then get myself back home. And, you know, if my labor is worth $30 an hour, which is, a minimum living wage for somebody who has to buy their own health insurance, pay their own taxes and everything, that's $240 just for me to put in the labor to take the cows to the butcher and get back home. Next, I'm going to have a big truck, and I'm going to have a cattle trailer. And it's going to cost me a minimum $1 a mile to run that truck and trailer to the butcher and back. And it's about 150 miles each direction, let's say.
Right.
So there is another $300. So I'm at $540 just to take my cows to the butcher.
Yeah, now they haven't even started the processing job. What do they charge you to process it once you're there? And then obviously you have to pay for an inspector to be on the project.
That's rolled into the cost of butchering.
Okay.
But, you know, generally, I think right now the kill fee is around $20 or $40 a cow. And then butchering, I think last time we got something butchered, it was around 47 cents a pound on the hanging weight.
So not the is that the dressed out weight, the hanging weight?
Well, there's three weights with animals. There's live weight, there's hanging weight, and there's packaged weight. Packaged weight is when it's all said and done. Live weight is basically with
on
just
the hoof.
Like...
On the hoof.
Yeah, on the hoof.
Yeah, you walk them up on the scale, right.
And in between is what's known as hanging weight, which the animal's had its head cut off and a few other things done. It's basically also sometimes called carcass weight.
Okay.
Before it's been cut into pieces. So I think I could probably pull a few invoices, but I think on average lately, you're looking at $400 to $500 per cow for butchering.
Okay, so that's so already if you have two cows, that's a $1,500 job right there between the cost of getting to and from the processor and the actual processing itself.
Yeah, and now here's the kicker. So those two cows, let's say they yield 800 pounds of meat, and we're at $1,600. That's $2 a pound in getting the animals to the butcher, getting them butchered, and we haven't went back to pick them up.
Oh, wow.
Because I will have to drive back to the butcher in about 3 weeks to go pick up my meat.
So when you add that, and then now does the processing include them wrapping it, you know, shrink wrapping it and packaging it for you as well?
Yeah, it includes that, but it doesn't include anything value added. So if I want sausage, that's going to be another 50, 75 cents a pound. If I want bacon cured, anything else you want, there's going to be additional charges and fees.
So you've got, when it's all said and done, what do you think you have into it on a per pound basis when you have to use one of these USDA facilities that's so far away?
Well, and it depends on how far the farmer is from the facility and other factors, but from farmers we've talked with, they have anywhere on beef from $1 to $2.50 a pound just in the butchering.
Wow. And that doesn't count what the farmer paid for the little cow, what the farmer put into the cow in order to make them a big cow and all the care. And so this is an unnecessary expense that ultimately the consumer has to pay.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing. And this is why local grass-fed ground beef is probably $7 or $8 at your local farmer's market.
This is why. Wow.
But when you go, and this is why McDonald's can sell a quarter pounder with cheese for 99 cents.
Wow.
Because, because I'm running at $2 a pound to get my cows butchered, and they're running at 20 cents a pound.
Holy mackerel.
And I don't enjoy all these subsidies and other things that they enjoy.
Like what? Like what kind of subsidies do they enjoy?
Well, just that make grain artificially cheap so they can feed their cows grain.
Okay.
And, you know, and or, you know, they're allowed to have a butchering facility that butchers 1,000 cows a day, even though there's no way an inspector looked at a third of those cows. Whereas it is not uncommon at these smaller butchering facilities. I'm now executive director for Farm to Consumer, and we get a constant stream of phone calls from smaller regional butchering facilities about mistreatment by USDA inspectors.
Really?
Oh yeah.
And what kind of mistreatment are we talking about?
Well, it'll be anything from an inspector. Well, I'll give a little more context. A few years ago, Joel Salatin was invited to a congressional hearing or something on meat inspection and butchering. And at this hearing, the person who is in charge of the USDA meat inspection program got up to speak. And he lauded his program's success by talking about how many small butcher houses they had closed down over the past 5 years.
How terrible.
That was how they measured their program's success, that they have been squeezing so they can get more and more cows inspected at less and less facilities. So these people define thinking stupid. Like, oh yeah, we have these facilities that we know are crawling with antibiotic-resistant bacteria and salmonella and campylobacter. Let's invite even more cows to be butchered at these facilities.
It's terrible. It's terrible. What about? Oh, okay. Let's do this. I hear music. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about the Prime Act with John Moody. We'll also tell you a little bit later in the show on how you can reach out to John if you want to be involved in making sure that this is viewed properly by your state representative. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, listen to The Secret Word. Email it into onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered to win this week's prize. We'll be right back.
Do you want to take tennis lessons? You don't have to wear white or join a country club anymore. Play Your Court sends top-rated instructors to your local court so you can take tennis lessons right in your neighborhood. Visit playyourcourt.com/superhuman to choose an instructor near you and receive $10 off your first lesson or lesson package. If you have questions, call 301-575-6112 and be sure to mention Superhuman Radio to receive your first lesson discount. playyourcourt.com. Finally, a better way to take tennis lessons.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose Lipospheric Vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Bluebird Botanicals sources only the highest quality CBD extracts from hemp. CBD is a non-psychoactive, all-natural constituent used to bolster general health. Bluebird Botanicals performs third-party testing, has invested in state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment, delivers nationwide, and possesses industry-leading customer service. To get CBD delivered to your front door, go to superhumanradio.com, click the Bluebird Botanicals banner ad, and save 25% off with code SHR25. Bluebird Botanicals, setting the standard for CBD oil and extracts.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking to John Moody today from Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. They're always fighting for our rights as consumers and for the small family farmer to put us all together so we can do business with them and they can prosper from our desire to obtain healthy food. Some new legislature that would allow small farmers to actually process their cows and their animals in non-USDA facilities, but nonetheless good facilities to process their animals in, just not within the scope of what the USDA is doing right now. It's called the Prime Act. It would give farmers a great deal more control and give the consumer a better product in the end. I want to talk about that part for a second, John. I want to talk about the fact that you brought up a good point when we were talking off the air, that when these animals have to endure this long, arduous drive, the stress hormones go up, and the processing of at these processing facilities actually causes stress hormones to go up. It's not good for the meat, is it?
No, it's not good for the animals. You know, so you as a consumer, you have to pay more for a product that also its quality has been diminished in ways that aren't always quantifiable needlessly by the added stress that's put on the animals. To have to go to a strange place, you know, whereas again, like there's lots of farmers who butcher animals right on farm. It's incredibly humane. You know, like if I could butcher my cows on farm, I could shoot them with a long rifle. They'd never even know it was coming.
Right.
They'd be sitting there eating grass and then 20 minutes later they'd be being butchered.
Right.
And there'd be no stress. We could do it incredibly sanitarily and efficiently
way. And quite frankly, more humane, because you know these animals, their stress hormones go up when you pack them into a truck and you start driving them 2 hours.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
out of their environment. It may not be like they instinctively know they're going to the butcher, but they do know that this is not right. Something's not right. They're swaying around in these trucks. And clearly that changes the quality of the animal's life, never mind the meat. And so it would be so much more humane to just shoot the animal where it's standing Wednesday morning, where it stood Tuesday morning and Monday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, as I tell my wife, you know, like, I just want to walk out in the field one day, have a massive heart attack, die, and bury me under the walnut tree.
Yeah, you don't want to die, you know, on the way in the ambulance, on the way to the hospital, you're all stressed out, you know something's wrong. No, so you had pointed out that this also, for those out there who care about the quality of the meat, this impairs the meat as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So legislation like this, it would free the individual states then to give options to their farmers. So I do want to be clear, all this legislation does is get the USDA, give states the ability to leave the USDA out of intrastate meat sales. We don't expect every state will do that. We know some states are going to stick with USDA inspection, but for other states like Wyoming, like New Hampshire, like Maine, a state like Kentucky perhaps, we could see new options coming the way of your local farmer.
And how would this impact the consumer? Let's talk about that for a second. So as a consumer in Kentucky, the farmer that I buy my beef and my chicken from, there would be, it would be less expensive to process these animals, right?
Yeah, well, you know, if Kentucky would let farmers use more of the local slaughterhouses that are not USDA inspected, you would see anywhere from a 50 cent to a $1.50 a pound ability for prices to be dropped on different cuts. Obviously, higher end cuts, there'd be a little bit more savings. Lower end cuts, there'd be a little less savings because there's less wiggle room.
Why not? Why not have these? But why do you feel that the USDA inspection provides any barrier to health issues or any degree of safety for the consumer? Or do you think it's just nonsense?
Oh no, I think the USDA in this respect is like your local police. They come after the fact to take notes.
Not ensuring that the slaughterhouse is clean and doing things appropriately and anything like that.
Well, I think the number of meat recalls we have a year makes that very clear.
That, yeah.
If they were actually making stuff safe before it left, we wouldn't have nearly as many recalls. We wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have ice cream that killed people.
Yeah.
Like, we had ice cream that killed people this year.
Yeah,
ice cream came out of a multi-million dollar USDA inspected facility.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And you know, the other, like, right now there's a cucumber outbreak going on where cucumbers have sickened over 300 to 400 people, killed 2 people across over 20 states.
Yeah. See, and this is something we've talked about for years on the show. Decentralization of the food supply is not only important for the local economy, but it also creates an inherent buffer against the widespread of disease. If you have a farmer that is selling his products to 100 families versus one of these giant producers that's selling product to 150 cities across 13 states, when something goes wrong, and something always goes wrong, the fallout is so much less.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, when we talk food safety, you know, if I sell a cow, I'm going to know almost everybody I sold that cow to.
Right.
And so if something was wrong, and again, this is like my dairy farmer, if something goes wrong with our raw milk dairy, not only is he testing every batch of milk that comes from the farm, but we can, probably within an hour of being informed that there's a problem, I can contact every single person who has milk from that farm. You show me anyone else in the food system who has that kind of traceability
and responsiveness
and that ability to reach out to people and say, hey, there might be a problem. We don't want you to consume something until we're sure.
Do you think that the USDA will see this for what it is, or do you think that they're going to try to hold on to their power and say, no, absolutely not, we're not doing this, this is, you know?
You know, I'll have to talk to Thomas Massey and see what the response has been. You know, so for your listeners, the bill's out there. If you go to farmtoconsumer.org, it'll give you information about the bill. Congressman Massey continues to pick up co-sponsors for this bill, and he needs more co-sponsors.
So what do we? So what does the audience do to help?
So well, you go to farmtoconsumer.org. You need to learn a little bit about the bill, and then you need to contact your federal Congress critter and ask them to co-sponsor the bill. Mm-hmm. So you need to call their office, say you want to talk with whoever's over, you know, agricultural issues, and you want to explain to them, this is a bill we would like to see you support. This bill would make our food safer. This bill would support economic development, especially in communities that need it most around our nation. You know, Kentucky is always talking about how our rural economies and our rural communities are dying. And it's because, like, there's no jobs because you're not allowed to legally do anything there anymore.
Right, right.
And so bills like this appeal across the political spectrum. One of Massey's first co-sponsors was a Democrat by the name of Shelley Pingree. And one of the other major co-sponsors is a Democrat out of Colorado by the name of Jared Polis, who understand this is not a Republican-Democrat issue because everybody eats. We have a white paper available on our website. Congressional representatives are used to receiving white papers that are brief summaries of why a piece of legislation is important and what it will do. And so you can download our PDF of the white paper, you can call the staffer, you can send them the links to our articles, you can send them a link or send them a copy of the white paper, and, you know, let your farmer know about the legislation and spread the word about how this legislation can make our food safer, make our food more nutritious, and make our food more affordable.
Yeah, yeah. Very important. I like this. This is really great. I guess those automated response type things where people go and put their name and address and some sort of signatory step and they generate an email that goes to our local representative. Do those campaigns not work? Do most people look at that as like, oh, this is just an automated letter generating campaign? People don't even know what they're asking for.
Yeah. Well, you know, the GMO labeling.
Yeah.
Bill, the DARC Act.
Yeah.
I can come back. We can talk about this if you want sometime.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll find out why the DARC Act failed. We're talking with John Moody from Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Bluebird Botanicals sources only the highest quality CBD extracts from hemp. CBD is a non-psychoactive, all-natural constituent used to bolster general health. Bluebird Botanicals performs third-party testing, has invested in state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment, delivers nationwide, and possesses industry-leading customer service. To get CBD delivered to your front door, go to superhumanradio.com, click the Bluebird Botanicals banner ad, and save 25% off with code SHR25. Bluebird Botanicals, setting the standard for CBD oil and extracts.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The secret word is probiotic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in 2 great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with John Moody. John is with the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. He's also our local Weston A. Price Foundation person here in Kentucky. And he has been doing a lot to help many people improve the quality of the food that they eat. When we're going into the break, you said that you would talk to us about... isn't that funny? The break was so long, I forgot.
The Dark Act.
Thank you. So the Dark Act was the something that was trying to be passed, right? But it got derailed, didn't it?
Well, I believe it passed either the Senate or the House.
Oh, the second time. Yeah, right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it passed the House.
Yeah.
Because you had asked about these automated petitions.
Yes. Well, you could just go to a website, you put your brief information in, you click submit, and you feel good about yourself because you feel like you sent something to your representative telling them how you feel.
Yeah, and so, you know, because people were amazed that even though there was so much negative sentiment, the Dark Act passed. And one of the main reasons, and I know people aren't going to like to hear this, is congressional representatives and senators pay attention to phone calls. And the worst part is making a phone call takes only marginally more time. And this is why the Homeschool Legal Defense Fund is so successful. I've never seen them put a petition out. When something happens that they want to stop, the people care enough to make phone calls. And so the Dark Act, yeah, I'm sure they probably got a million and a half automated petition notices that all went into the round electronic waste bin.
Right.
But they got, because again, I talked with Massey and a few other Congress people about it. They received almost no phone calls.
See, that's the difference.
At all.
That's the difference.
And whereas as well, a congressman pointed out to me that every lobbyist worth their salt on Capitol Hill was working overtime to get the DARK Act passed. And he's just like, no phone calls, lobbyists beating down every door, you know, throwing their weight around. It was a gimme for the industrial food industry.
But, you know, it's so, when you said that, I mean, I understand, but at the same time, these politicians shouldn't be listening to lobbyists at all, because lobbyists have an agenda that is not always in the best interest of the people. And these politicians are supposed to be serving us, not industries.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, we have the best political system money can buy, Carl.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way.
You know, we have the best laws corporations can buy. And I agree with you, they shouldn't be. But if a constituent doesn't care enough about an issue to make a phone call, why should a congressman care what they think on an issue?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't take 10 minutes to read up about the Prime Act and then 10 more minutes to call your representative and explain to them why this is important, and then a few more minutes to spread this among your friends, then Congress people don't take you seriously.
Do you think so? Do you think that there's general consensus amongst farmers that the Prime Act is good, or are there some farmers out there who go, you know, I like having the USDA inspect things, and I like using a USDA facility because I like that USDA stamp on my label?
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of people who enjoy codependent abusive relationships.
That's funny.
And so, you know, it's not for me to say how many, you know, like, some people want a nanny state.
Yeah.
And if they want a nanny state, I'm willing to let them have the nanny state if they will let me opt out. Because I've seen the end result of where that nanny state gets you on a number of levels, and I don't think it works. But if that makes you happy, I'm a libertarian. If that'll make you happy and you want that label or that sticker or that whatever, as long as you don't make me pay for it or me do the same thing as you, then I don't care.
Right.
You know, so I know tons of farmers who are ecstatic about what the Prime Act could do for their local communities, for their local economies, and for the bottom line of their farms and the bottom lines of the people who want to buy from them.
Right.
You know, because if you're able to shave $1.50 a pound off the cost of local beef, you would economically open up.
How do we know farmers are going to pass that on to the consumer? How do we know farmers aren't going to go, people are already paying $6.50 for a pound of ground beef. Now we're spending $1.50 a pound less to produce it. Why would we lower the price? Why not just be more profitable?
Oh, because there's more, you know, just because of competition. I mean, there's a lot of these farmers at times have more beef available than they have sales.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want to gain more market share. Now, obviously, if the farmer saves $1.50 a pound, you know, farmers aren't driving Mercedes.
Yeah, right.
You know, so if farmers only pass on to consumers half of that.
Yeah, or 50 cents of it, it's still a good deal, right?
Yeah, and the farmer can actually make a fair living wage maybe for the first time in a long time.
Right.
You know, to give you an idea of how underpaid farmers are, this is something I heard last fall. It's called the cow-to-truck ratio. And it's basically how many cows a farm would have to sell to be able to afford a new truck. The cow-to-truck ratio.
Okay.
Back in the 1960s, how many cows would a farm have to sell to buy a new truck?
You're asking me?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I don't know. 500.
No. 4 to 8.
You're kidding me.
Whereas how many would a farmer have to sell now? You know, like 40?
Wow.
And so you see the cost of everything else over the past 40 years
has gone up,
skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Right. And the price of food has been artificially suppressed.
That's so sad.
And so, you know, so even farmers held on to the majority of the money. And, you know, local grass-fed ground beef at $6 a pound, still well below historically what you would have been paying for beef.
Oh, I know. And that's what it is. I mean, it's $6 a pound, and it's a bargain at $6 a pound.
Yeah, especially, you know, compared to the cruelty-laden, ecologically disastrous, antibiotic-resistant creating, you know, governmental subsidy cartel-based CAFO beef that lines our grocery stores and our restaurants.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I know. And so there is unanimous support for this, I would imagine, by the farming families, correct?
Well, again, it's, you know, farming families are diverse. And, you know, you have some farming families who are deeply embedded in the CAFO system.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, like, you know, take Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau is well known for never supporting, for the most part, bills that would expand and help actual small-scale farming families.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We could have a long talk. I mean, years ago, I worked on a bill here in Kentucky, and it was a very simple bill, friend. All the bill would do was, when you have an ownership stake in an animal, whether it's a lease, or any kind of ownership, shared ownership arrangement for animals, it would free you up to have it butchered wherever you wanted, or to enjoy whatever the animal produces in whatever way you want.
Right.
And Farm Bureau went apoplectic with rage over our bill.
Really? Why would they care?
Oh, because, again, they do not want consumers and farmers to have a choice.
That is so sad. They should be forced to change their name from Farm Bureau to something else.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy. I've been asked by some friends to work on this bill. I said, I'll work on this bill. I'll give it one honest go around to show you how corrupt the political process is. And so me and my friends were required, as part of the process of moving this bill through the Kentucky legislature, to meet behind closed doors with other stakeholders. And while behind closed doors, me and my friends were threatened physically.
Really?
Over this bill.
Really?
Oh, yes.
And was that enough to derail the bill, or did you continue to move forward with it?
Well, we got the bill through one of the two houses, and the person who sponsored the bill just said there was no point in trying to introduce it in the other house. He had been told it would be dead on arrival.
Yeah, this is so sad.
Because of Kentucky Farm Bureau and because of the dairy cartel.
You know, and farmers are the hardest working people in the world. And it's so sad. They're so oppressed. I hate to say this. Farmers love what they do. But, I mean, it's almost like they have become chattel. You know? It's really tough. Very, very tough to be a farmer today. Listen, John, tell people where they should go again.
So our website is farmtoconsumer.org. And all of our top blog posts right now are all about the primate. So if you go to farmtoconsumer.org, just spelled out farmtoconsumer.org, it'll give you a plethora of resources to educate yourself. You know, if any of your listeners have shows of their own, or want to talk with me about the legislation, they can get in touch with me through the website. There's a place you can drop us a contact if you need anything else. Or if you have a representative who wants to meet with me, I've sat down and talked with a few different Congress people about this legislation or their staffers.
What are the ones that are not already involved in this, when you sit down and talk with them about this, what is I was about to say, what's the impression you get from them? But then again, some politicians will act like they like something, but they have no interest in helping. Overall, what's the consensus you're getting?
Oh, it just depends. You know, there's some Congress people who are on the fence. There are some who welcome this. You know, a lot of selling legislation to a congressperson is knowing where they're coming from. Because how I frame legislation to a Democrat is going to be different than how I sell it to a Republican.
Right.
You know, for Democrats, I would point out that legislation like this, is, you know, it helps the lowest echelons of society.
Right.
It helps local food.
Right.
Whereas with Republicans that emphasize this is like actual freedom.
Republicans, you just tell them this would really piss off the Democrats if you vote for it.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's, you know, so it, you know, you need to know a little bit about your representative and try and sell it to them on the parts of it that would be most appealing and appetizing. You know, if there's somebody who cares a lot about, you know, the growing problem of poverty in rural areas, and or if there's somebody who cares deeply about the inaccessible economics of local food for a lot of people, this is the kind of bill we need to make local food more economically accessible,
right,
and available. So, you know, so there's a lot of positives about this bill, except for to the bottom line of those who enjoy the cartel status quo.
Yeah, no. They're the protectionists. All right, look, we're gonna end the interview here. John, how can people reach you if they want to reach out to you?
Again, on our website, farmtoconsumer.org, there's a great place where you can drop us a note and get in touch with us. And we also have a phone number where you can call the office, and then they'll route you to whoever you need to talk with.
I also want to give some thanks to who did I have on earlier today? Isn't this funny? I'm drawing a complete blank today. This has been a disastrous when technology goes bad for me, it's like it just throws me completely off. I lose my focus on the show. It's because I'm sitting here trying to produce a show from the technical side as the producer, and things are not cooperating, and it makes me just want to go, okay, I'm done. But anyway,
was it Dr. Michael Ormsby?
Yes, thank you. Hey, you were listening to the show. You're pretty good. Thank you to Dr. Michael Ormsby. We're going to have him back on because he had lots of good information about nighttime eating that may derail some of the myths about nighttime eating that I think we need to get to the bottom of. So I'm going to have Elisa set up to have him back on the show. And, of course, John Moody, you're always welcome back on the show anytime you have something good to share with our audience, okay?
Great. Well, thank you for having me, friend, and I hope you all have a great day.
Okay, take care. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. I promise I'll have everything fixed by then.